Today's shiurim, the Daf Yomi, is the Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Mem Vav. We begin the beautiful fifth perek, Shor Shenogach, and we continue to learn for the safety of all the forces in Eretz Yisrael. They should be successful, just like the Maccabees were successful in their forces against the Yevonim. We should be successful today against the horrible Rishoyim, Hamas, Yimach Shemam, Zichram. We should continue to see success every day. We should see the safety of Tzal. Those that Nebuch had died, their families should find nechama from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those in need of a refuah shleimah should have one, and the hostages should be freed b'mheira in good health and in as best possible condition as possible. A learning should be a zechus for all of them and for all of us. We begin the sixth parak. It tells us, Shor Shenogach Es HaPara. Here we have an ox that gores a para, a cow, a female of the species, and it is pregnant. V'nimtso ubra bitzida. And Nebuch, you find the fetus from this cow next to the mother cow, and the fetus is dead. Nimtza ubra bitzida, and it's dead. So here's a scenario. You have a cow that has been gored with a dead fetus by it. And the question will be, did the cow miscarry on its own? Unfortunately, you have a dead fetus, and then the mother cow got gored, and therefore the goring cow, the owner of the goring cow, is not responsible at all for the fetus. That was a natural miscarriage. Or do we say, no, the mother pregnant cow got gored, that caused it to miscarry, and therefore the death of the fetus inside of her, the miscarried baby, is in fact the responsibility of the goring cow's owner to go pay for that. And that's what the Mishnah tells us. Shor Shenogach Es HaPara V'nimtza Ubra Bitzida. Now, we don't know. Then you do. It's not known. Im Achlo Nigacha Yolda. Did it give birth before it was gored, and Nebuch, it gives birth to a baby that died, the baby cow died, or Umisha Nigacha Yolda, or was the goring that's what caused it to go and give birth maybe prematurely, and the baby therefore died. So in this situation, you have a dead ubra, and we don't know, was it from the goring ox or not because of the goring ox? So the Tana of our Mishnah says, "Mishalim chatzi nezik lepara, uruvia nezik levlad." So we assume in this situation that there is the chatzi nezik that you have to pay. This is a short time that gored, so the damage is a chatzi nezik, but how do you calculate that chatzi nezek? So if you say that the fetus that was miscarried had nothing to do with the goring, so then the owner of that ox is not obligated to pay anything for that. But if you say that it caused the damage by goring the mother, who then miscarried and Nebuch gave birth to the dead baby cow, so then in that situation, so the owner of the goring ox should have to pay the full chatzi nezek. So therefore, the Mishnah tells us we're not sure. As we'll see, this is the opinion of Sumchus, who says that Mamon Hamuto Besafik is Cholkin. We don't know. So therefore, the value over here has to be left in abeyance, and each of them splits the difference. So Mishalim Chatzi Nezik Lepara. So for the damages that are done to the mother cow, that was clear. Your ox gored that cow. So we know that for certain. So Shor Shenogach Es HaPara, the mother cow over here, will definitely get Chatzi Nezik paid for it. However, the fetus, we don't know. Was it from the goring cow, or was it a natural miscarriage? So therefore, uruvia nezik levlad. So you pay a half of the half nezik. So that's a uruvia nezik to levlad. Because, again, this is Sumchus who says that this money is held in a safek situation, and therefore holkin. So therefore, let's say the damage to the fetus was $100. So the chatzi nezik damage would be 50. And therefore, each of them subsumes 50% of that 50. So the owner of the cow who is pregnant, who is the owner of the fetus, will get 25, and the other 25 of the chatzi nezik will not have to be paid. That's what it means, revia nezik levlad. Similarly, if it was the other way around, v'chein para shenocho es hashar, you have a pregnant cow that gored an ox, the opposite of the first part of the Mishnah. The nimtz of law de betzida, and after this, you have to, from a distance, you see the witnesses see that the cow gored the ox. And then when we get there, we see that the actual pregnant cow had actually given birth. So the question is, when the cow gored the ox, was she still pregnant, and therefore the fetus inside of her is also to blame, so to say, and therefore you can take the money from not only the mother, but also from the fetus to pay for the damages to the shor, or not. So therefore, became parish and ochet sashar, b'nim tzavlad b'tzidah, you see the baby, this now live baby, that is next to the mother cow, and we don't know, they need to do it, it's not clear. Did the mother give birth before she gored, or did the mother give birth after she gored? So, therefore, Deni Yadua im Achlo Nocha Yolda. Did it happen that she gave birth to this little baby cow, but then after the birth she gored? So, therefore, the baby cow would not have any liability at all from the baby cow to go and pay for the damages to the ox. Or was it the other round? Umishinogcha, or did the mother first gore and only subsequently yolda? And then the ox is gored by a pregnant cow, so therefore you can take the value of the baby cow included into how to go pay for the damages to the ox that was gored. Again, let me make it clear. We have here the pregnant cow that's worth more than the non-pregnant cow. So the pregnant cow, if you're going to have to pay chatzi nezik from the pregnant cow, so the pregnant cow is worth, let's say, 1,000, and the non-pregnant cow is only worth 500. So therefore, it's better for the nizak to be able to take from a cow worth 1,000 than a cow worth 500. So therefore, that's going to be the nafkamina here. Do we or do we not say that the baby cow that's born was originally part of the mother cow when she gored, and therefore part of that value of the baby cow can be used to pay off the damages that were done to the ox. So what's the halacha? So again, our mishnah is going to be like Sumchus, who says, "Amar mamun hamuto b'sofik is cholkin." So therefore, mishtalim chatzi nezik min hapara. You go and take the chatzi nezik from the mother cow. That's a guarantee that that money can be taken from her. And then it says, "Urviya nezik min avlad." And a quarter of the damages, which would be half of the half, you take from this vlad because it's mamun hamuto b'sofik. We don't know, and therefore you pay half. Each side pays half. So the chatzi nezik, half of it will be paid by the mazik, and half of it will be assumed by the nizak, and won't get reimbursed for that. Now, we'll have to wait to the Gemara to see this then adds up to three quarters, because if you say chatzi nezik ben apara, and a half of a half, or revia nezik ben avlad, that adds up to three quarters, and you're only supposed to pay chatzi nezik if it's a tam. So we'll have to exactly explain what this means when we get to the Gemara. This is our Mishnah. We have the two parallel cases. The first one is when the shor gored a pregnant ox, and the second one is a pregnant ox gored a shor. And we just need to figure out in each situation, when did the baby come about in both situations. Now, as I've already said, this goes in accord with Sumchis that says Mamun Hamutu B'Safik is Cholkin. And that's what Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel now tells us. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Zudei Sumchis. Our Mishnah, the author, must go in accord with the opinion of Sumchis. The Amar Mamun Hamutu B'Safik Cholkin. We divide this questionable payment. Both parties have to assume half of it. We don't say Hamotzi Mechaber Olav Araya. Sumchis said that when there's a doubt over here, it's Mamun Hamutu B'Safik, so the two parties, the two litigants, have to split it. And in fact, the Chacham disagree with this. Abu Chacham Omrim, no, is there Klal Gadol Badin? No, a major halachic principle is Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Araya. If you want to take money from someone else, you have to prove that that money should come to you. The fact that there's a suffix about it, that's not a raya that you should get it. Hamotzi mechaveru, you want to take something that belongs to him right now. He's the muchzak in it, so therefore you have to bring a raya to be able to take it. We don't say, well, it's a machlokes, so we'll split it, like Sumchis does. And therefore the Chacham say, this is a klal gadol b'din. This is a major litigating principle that hamotzi mechaveru, all of a raya. So they disagree with Sumchis. Now, the Gemara says, why do they use this terminology? Lomali lemeimar zeh klal gadol badin. Why do they say it's such a big klal over here? What's the reason for saying that? So the Gemara says, interesting, because I would have thought on my own, dafilu nizak omer bari, umazik omer shema. On my own, I would have said, if the nizak says, I'm absolutely certain that the ox gored my cow when it was still pregnant, and it didn't miscarry until your ox gored it. So I'm certain of that. And the mazik, the one who owns the goring cow, says, I'm not sure. So you might have thought in that situation that you don't apply the principle of Motzi Chaver Olav Araya. You would say in that situation, you follow the one who's Bari and not the one who says Shema. And therefore, Motzi Chaver Olav Araya, that's why it's a Klal Gadol Badin, applies in this situation as well. Even though one side is Bari and the other side is Shema, we still apply this principle of Motzi Chaver Olav Araya. That's terrace number one, why we call the Klal Gadol Badin. Alternatively, Inami, the reason why we call it Klal Gadol Badin, L'chiha, the Itmar, is based upon the following. Hamoche shor l'chadeiro v'nimtza nachon. If Reuven sells his shor to Shimon. Now, Shimon didn't want to buy a nachon, he didn't want to buy a goring ox. But it turns out that he bought a goring ox. So what's the halacha? Shimon said, I didn't want to buy a goring ox. So Rav Amar, I raise him at kokos. Rav says, Shimon never intended to buy a goring ox. He wanted to keep this ox around to plow. And he wants it for many years. The last thing he wants to do is to have to watch it like a shor mu'ud, like a goring ox. And therefore, this is a mekach toz, and Rav says he gets his money back, and he gives the shor back. Ushmul disagrees. Ushmul amar. Shmuel says as follows. You know what? Reuven can say to Shimon, I knew it was a goring ox. What difference did it make to you? I assumed you were buying it for shechita. So it's a goring ox or not a goring ox, you're going to shechta tomorrow. And therefore, doesn't make any difference. And therefore, if you want to prove to me that you didn't buy it as a shor l'shlita, but you wanted to buy it as a shor l'raja, specifically for plowing purposes, hamotzi michavera, all of araya. So here is where we need this klal gadol b'Torah, because Rav disagrees in here in this situation. He just says semekach tot, where Shmuel says, no, prove it to me, motzi michavera, all of araya. Therefore, that's what the klal gadol is coming to teach us. Now the Gemara says, amai, why should there be a machlokas over here between Rav and Shmuel? Go and see, v'nechse, I gabro dezovin l'ridya. Go and see what this person needs. Is he a guy that goes and purchases an ox for plowing? He has a big farm and he needs oxes for plowing. So no, the stomach, he bought it for plowing. If he is, Rashi says, is buying it l'shchita, l'shchasasa means l'shchita, so he's a butcher. So he doesn't have a farm. He doesn't need an ox for plowing. The stomach, he bought it for shchita. So go see who Shimon is. Is Shimon a farmer or is Shimon a shalchit? He says, no, lo tzricha, you need it because let's say Shimon is both a farmer and he's a shochet, a person that sometimes buys for plowing and sometimes buys for shchita. This person who purchases it, Shimon, sometimes he buys it for plowing and sometimes he buys it for shchita. So therefore, you can't tell, and that's why we have a machlokas, Rav Shmuel. Where it says, but still, look at the price. Did he pay a different price than he would pay for shchita? You paid a price that is higher. If you're buying it for plowing, you're going to use it for a long period of time. It's a different type of an ox. It's a ruddier type of an ox. So therefore, it costs more money if you're buying it for plowing. So go see the price. Did he pay $1,000, which is the price for a plowing ox? Or did he pay $750, which is the price for a shchita ox? Idimei nichsasa l'nichsasa. So then it's a lower price. Go and look and see what the prices are. An ox that can go and be used for plowing for many years, that's a sturdier ox, so that costs $1,000. An ox that you're going to shecht right now, no, it's very good for shechita right now, but you can't really do much with it, so it's a lower price. So see, did the guy buy it for $1,000, and it was a plowing ox? Did he buy it for $750, and then it's a shechita ox? Gemara says, again, that would be a perfectly good answer, except lo tzricha, here we have that normally the plowing ox is $1,000, and the shechita ox is $750, except now the price of meat has gone up. The oker bisra, in this situation, meat is very expensive. For whatever the reason, meat is now worth also $1,000 for this ox. So the price is the same. Whether you're buying it for plowing or you're buying it for shchita, it's the same price, and therefore you can't distinguish. And therefore we have a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says it's the mekach tos, and Shmuel says no. Shiom alo l'shchita mechatev l'cha. Prove to me not. Hamotzi mechaver all of araya. Okay, that's the machlokes Rav and Shmuel. That's the second teretz that we have over here as to why we refer to this as a klal godol badin. Okay, Morris still has another question. Amri, and we turn to Menvovo Mibbeis, V'i leko lishtalu meminei. We just said that Rav holds that it's a mekach tos, and you have to give him back the money. So therefore, Shimon, who paid Ruvain $1,000 for this ox, should get his $1,000 back, and he returns the ox. But let's say that Ruvain already got rid of the $1,000. He spent it. He bought it on lottery tickets and he lost, and he has no money left. If Ruvain has no money to go and pay, so then, so why would Rav say that you have to return the ox? Let him keep the ox, and he can say the Amri Yinshus, like people say. Now this is an expression that Rashi over here doesn't actually explain, but Rashi elsewhere explains. And Rashi, the Gemara in Bava Metziah, tells us, Mimore Rashvasoch means, so ish asher atonoshibo, that person that you're trying to collect money from. Shimon was given a mekach tos according to Rav, and he wants to get his $1,000 back. So he's trying to collect $1,000 from Reuven, and Reuven doesn't have it anymore. So you're trying to collect it, Mimore Rashvasoch, from the guy that you're trying to collect the money from. If you can't get the cash, pare, Rashi elsewhere tells us it means subin. Rashi explains this in Bava Basra, which he also explained what the Mori Rash Vasach means, and it means you're going to go collect subin from their value. And afilu no se lo subin kablin. Even if all you're going to get is bran, so select that, take that, no problem. At least you'll get your $1,000. In metaltolin, even though you're not going to get it in cash. So therefore, why is Rav saying it's a mekach tos, you have to go return it? Well, keep it until you get your money. So Gemara says, lo tzricha, v'ikol ishtalu meminei. The reason why he has to return it is because Reuven has the cash. Reuven has cash, and in that situation where Reuven has cash, so Shimon can demand that he have cash and not take the ox in return. He doesn't want an ox. He doesn't need a muad ox. He wants a plowing ox. So if you can't give me a plowing ox, then give me back my $1,000. And therefore, now we can understand the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Rav Amar is a mekach toz. Rav says this is a mekach toz, and Reuven has to go and pay Shimon back his $1,000 and get his ox back, because zil bosa ruba, you go after the majority. And the ruba, the inshe, lirid Yehuda zovne. Most people didn't buy an ox for shechita purposes. Most people bought it for plowing purposes. They were an agrarian society. They didn't eat meat. They didn't have refrigeration. They didn't kill oxes every day. Most of the oxen were used for workhorse animals to go and plow a field. And therefore, you go after the majority. And therefore, Rav says, you are entitled to go and get your money back as a mekach toz. Shmuel, what's his understanding? Shmuel says, no. Yochosh Yomelo. Reuven has the right to go and tell Shimon, listen, Yochosh Yomelo, l'shchita mecharativ l'chot. I thought you wanted it for shchita purposes. The majority of people want it for Raja, and only a minority want it for shchita. Lo aslin basa ruba. We don't follow the majority. When do we follow the majority? Ki aslin basa ruba b'isura. When do we follow the majority? So we had the famous case of the 9 butcher stores that sell kosher meat and the 1 butcher store that sells non-kosher meat, and you find a piece of meat in the street. So that's isur. So you're allowed to go. You're allowed to say, halachically, this is kosher meat. There's a majority that is kosher, a minority that is non-kosher. It's not in its kavua place. It was taken away from the kavua place. So therefore, in this situation, holchin achar arov, only by isura. But Shmuel says, Abul b'mamona, in regards to money, lo asli d'basiru, we don't follow the majority, Ella what? Ella, mosi b'chmer, all of a riot. You want to tell me that you purchased this as a plowing ox and not a shchit ox? Prove it. If you prove it, so then fine. If you have witnesses, you say, listen, I'm buying this ox, I'm buying it for plowing purposes, and you can prove it, so again, the gezunt, then I owe you the money. Otherwise, I have the right to assume that you wanted it for shchita purposes, and hamos b'chmer, all right, you have to prove that you bought it for plowing purposes, or else the deal is a good deal, and tough luck on you. Now, why by Yisura do we go after the majority? And over here by Mamanos, we don't go after the majority. So Tosus on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Bei said, because the Ika Miut V'Chazaka, because there are two principles over here. The fact that there's a minority, but there's also Chazaka that he has it. And therefore, that's why we don't follow the majority in this situation. In any event, this is the Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Now, the Gemara tells us there's a brisa in support of this understanding of our Mishnah being sumchis, and in fact, the Chachamim hold hamotzi mechaber olav raya. Tani nam yochi, brisa says exactly this idea that we've been discussing till now. Shor shenoch es hapar rav inim tzubra b'tzida. You have an ox that gored a pregnant cow, and then you find Nebuch, the dead fetus, by the mother cow, and we don't know, was it miscarried before she was gored, or the goring caused her to miscarry. We don't know which came first, the goring and then the miscarriage, or the miscarriage and then there was goring. So in this situation, Sumchis tells us, Meshalim Chatzi Nezik Lepara, you have to go and pay the owner of the ox the Chatzi Nezik that you caused in the damages in the cow itself. So you have to pay, it's a short time, so you have to pay Chatzi Nezik, but that now going to the fetus, so we don't know, was the fetus also gored, so to say, or was it not gored? It was already miscarried, and therefore has nothing to do. So therefore, that damages over here is mamon amutu b'safek, so it's chatzi nezek of the value of this fetus, this Nebuch miscarried baby cow, and therefore, the mazik, the owner of the shor that was nogeach, the owner of the shor that gored, so he'll have to pay half of the chatzi nezek. Urevia nezek levlad. Diri sumcha. That's sumcha's opinion. Now, the Chachamim in this Brisa, we didn't have them in the Mishnah, but the Chachamim in the Brisa disagree. Chachamim Omrim, Amos v'Chaver, override. No, you want to prove that your cow had miscarried only after the goring, and therefore you want to collect, then prove it. You have to prove it. Otherwise, I don't have to pay you anything. Amos v'Chaver, override. I say it miscarried first, and therefore my damages are only to your cow, but not to the fetus at all. Okay, so the Braisa says exactly the way we understood our Mishnah, the Mishnah Sumchas, and the Braisa adds in, just like we added in the Gemara, that there's an opinion that disagrees with Sumchas, the opinion of the Chacham, that say, Amosi Mechaber Olav Raya. Now, where do we get this concept of Amosi Mechaber Olav Raya? I'm Rishwul Ben Achmeini. Where do we get this principle that you have to go and prove that you deserve to get the money, and only in that situation can you take it away from somebody else? So, we bring a pasuk, Shenemar, Mibal Dvorim Yigash Alihem. What does this mean? This is when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the Har Sinai. He told Aaron and Hur, you stay here, and Mibal Dvarim, Yigash Alehem. Anybody that has a Shaila, they should bring it to you. What does it mean? Mibal Dvarim, Yigash Alehem? Yagish Raya Alehem. If somebody wants to go, litigant A wants to go collect something from litigant B, go and bring a Raya. Yagish Raya Alehem. That's the source for Amotzi Mechaber Olav Raya. More questions. It says, really? You need a source? You need a pasuk? Masikul Ravashi. Holomali Kra. Why would I need a pasuk? To say, if I want to take something from somebody else, I need to have a raya. After all, Svaru, it's simple, good logic. It's rational approach to say, if Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me money, Reuven has to prove it. Otherwise, Shimon says, I don't know you. What are you doing over here? Svaru. And he brings an interesting analogy. He says, the koyev lekeva, if somebody has something that hurts him, so he has some sort of a pain, so ozer lebeyasi, he's the one that goes to the doctor. If you don't have pain, you don't go to the doctor. So the guy that wants to go collect something has to go to the doctor. You have to go bring a raya to the beis din that thing is yours. So therefore, why do we need a pasuk to tell me, hamotzi v'chavero ol raya? That's what Rav Ashi questions. No, then how do you darshan the pasuk midval dvarim yigash aliham elakral with the Rav Nachman omer Rabbi Ravua? That pasuk is needed for that which Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabbi Ravua. What did he say? Damar Rav Nachman omer Rabbi Ravua. Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabbi Ravua. Minayin shein niskakin elo letoveya tchila. You have two litigants over here. Rashi explains in the Rav Maskel shein niskakin, the very first line. He says kigon Ruvein toveya mishimon mana. Ruvein argues that Shimon owes him a mana, 100 zuz, that he lent it to him. Shilveyu. We leave out the words be'edu and b'shtar, that's not important, and the marshal deletes that. In any event, what does Shimon respond? Shimon, meshivo, he says, no, Reuven grabbed $100 from me. Tovso mishali, tofasta mishali, and hachzuli, give that back to me. And then we can talk about the 100 that you lent me. Oh, masha tofasta, give back to me. It was omashko, no yobadecho, or he had a mashkin of his. In any event, Shimon says, I'm not giving you back the $100 until you give me the item that you owe me. And then we can talk. So there's two tainus over here. Reuven came first and said, Shimon owes me $100. And Shimon said, I may owe you $100, but you took $100 for me. So give me back the $100 that you owe me. And then we can talk about the $100 that I owe you. So therefore, in this situation, Rav Nachman says the name of Rabbi Bar Avua, Minayin Shein Niskokin Ela Toveh Tchila. You first go to the first case that was brought to our attention. Reuven says, Shimon owes me $100. So first you adjudicate that then. Since Shimon's not denying it, so therefore, first Shimon has to pay Reuven the $100. And then Shimon can take Reuven to court and say, but you owe me this mashkon that you took from me, or you grabbed something else from me, I want you to give that back to me. So you judge case A first, and then you judge case B. And that's based upon Shinemar, Mibal Dvarim, Yigash Aliyem, Yagish Dvarov Aleyem. You first go, first come, first serve. So Reuven's case against Shimon comes first. And only afterwards will we adjudicate Shimon's case against Reuven. That's what you need the pasuk for, not to teach the Motzi B'Chavero Ol Raya. That, Rav Ashi says, is logic. That's Svara. There's one exception to this rule, however. Ami Nardai, the Nardai people said, the Chachamim from Nardai said, that sometimes we don't follow this rule of Rav Nachman Omer Rabbi Ravua, that you go to the first litigation first, and only then do you go to the second litigation. Pa'amim shenizkakin lanit batchila. Sometimes you'll go to the second litigation and do that first. When is that? Echidamin, under what circumstances? Because zile nirse. If the item that he would have to give back, if it was judged first, is going to somehow be devalued by him giving it back first. So Shimon, for example, has to give back something to Reuven. That's what Reuven Tain is. So he doesn't have the money, so he's going to have to give him karka. Now, everybody knows he owes money, so the karka is not going to be able to sell at a good price. So therefore, he's going to take a loss on the karka. And therefore, he says, no, first you give me the $100 that you took from me, and then I can pay you back with that $100. So therefore, in this situation, the Nardoi said, we'll adjudicate litigation B first, because it's going to cause a loss to the other party if we were to litigate litigation A first. So sometimes the Nardai say you can flip it around. But the basic rule is you litigate litigation A first, and then only then do you do litigation B second. That's because Mibal Dvarim, Migash Aliyem, teaches us that approach. With the rare exception, where if you were to adjudicate litigation number one first, that would cause an above and beyond loss to the participants in litigation B, so therefore, then you'll do litigation B first. Okay, I hope that was clear. Let's go weiter. We quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, V'chein parish anoches ashor v'chule. We had said that if the pregnant cow, in the second part of the Mishnah, gored an ox, and then we find the baby born afterwards, we don't know, did it gore while it was pregnant, or did it gore after it had given birth? Now, the Mishnah, which is the opinion of Sumchas, said, in that situation, you pay chatzi nezek from the mother, and you pay revia nezek, a half of a half, from the baby. But wait a second, if you add that up, so you're only supposed to pay as a tam, chatzi nezek. But here you're telling me you're paying chatzi nezek and a half of a half, which is another quarter. So therefore, the chatzi nezek you pay from the mother, that's 2 quarters. and then you're paying an additional one quarter from the baby, so it's a total of three quarters. So, kule niske niche riva mayavidite. Wait a second, you're only supposed to pay chatzi nezek. Here you're paying a quarter less than full nezek, which is three quarters. Where do you get that? Where do we ever find that you pay three quarters nezek? You either pay nezek shalim or you pay chatzi nezek. In this scenario, you're taking half the nezek from the mother and an additional half of a half, an additional quarter nezek from the baby that was born. So that's a total of three quarters of the nezek. Where do we find such a payment? So it doesn't make any sense. So Abai Abai says, no, you're reading it wrong. When we say chatzi nezek, what we meant was, Abai says, you're taking echod me'arba'ah ba'nezek. Uruvia Nezek, that really was Echod Mishmona Benezek. What really is being said in the Mishnah is that you take the half of the half Nezek from the mother, a half of a half, that's really a quarter Nezek, Echod Mi'arba Benezek from the mother, and then you take a Ruvia Nezek, that meant half of the Ruvia Nezek, which means an eighth. So what you're really paying is, the first one is paying a quarter, which is 2/8, and the second one is paying an eighth, which is one more eighth, a total of 3/8. So you're really not even paying chazi nezek, you're paying only 3/8 of the total nezek. 2/8 coming from the mother, and 1/8 coming from the baby cow. Now, where do you get this from? Because each of them are really chayiv chazi nezek. So we view the mother cow as being chayiv chazi nezek, we view the baby cow as being chayiv chazi nezek, but the baby cow, it's a safek. So the mom and amutul besafek, so you split that. So that half nezek really becomes a half of a half. But it already, from the beginning, was only a half. So it's half nezek, so it's going to be a quarter, and then a half of that is going to be an eighth. Whereas the mother cow, that's truly half nezek. And therefore, you take half of that half nezek, and that's where you get the two eighths for the mother cow and the 1/8 for the baby cow. And that's how you get 3/8. Now, the Gemara continues and says, if both the mother and the baby are owned by the same person, some of this goes away. If the mother and the baby are owned by the same person, which is probably the normal situation, so hochanami, in this situation, so too, demotzi omale lebal para, the nizak, the one who's ox was gored, can say to the owner of this pregnant cow and say, what difference does it make whether you gave birth before or after the cow was gored? Be marashach. Chatzi nezek hadli. You owe me, as the owner of both of them, you owe me chatzi nezek. So you did damage to my ox over here. So my ox is worth $200. You had to pay me $100. I don't really care how you pay it to me. You can pay it to me from one versus the other. Be marashach chatzi nezek hadli. You owe me. Ella, what do we need the case for? In our Mishnah, El Lutzricha, Abaye says you need it for the following scenario when they're owned by two different people. The mother cow who was pregnant was owned by one person, and the owner of that cow had sold that pregnant cow, but you can't sell the fetus inside, so therefore, the parah dechad uvlad dechad. He retained the ownership of the fetus, and therefore, that's why we have the two scenarios that the owner of the mother cow will pay 50%, and the owner of the other one will pay only 25%. Again, like we described, that 50% really was only 25%, and the other portion is only 12.5%, an eighth versus a quarter. Okay, now, the Gemara says further, the kodim tavi, if the nizak, the owner of the damaged shore, went and was toveya lebal paro tchila, he went to the mother cow's owner first, and he said, hochanami damale lebal paro. He can indeed say to that mother cow, paro didoch azikton, you definitely were the goring ox over here. His only question was the fetus inside of you or not inside of you at the time that you gored? You definitely gored me. And therefore, havli raya the islecha shutfei. Prove to me, Hamoz Michaver, all of Arai, even according to Sumchas, you should have to prove to me that you had a partner. Otherwise, I'm coming to claim the entire Chatzi Nezek from you. Prove to me that you have a partner, and then we'll get it from the other partner, from the owner of the baby, because you're saying that the baby was inside the mother at the time of the goring. Fine. That would be perfectly acceptable. If he went first to the mother cow, so then it's Hamoz Michaver, all of Arai, to the owner of the mother cow. However, in that situation, there's no question that he can go 100% to her. Ella, the kodim tavi labal vlad tchila. What happens if he first goes, the nizak first goes to the owner of the vlad, the baby cow that's born, and he goes to him and say, you were part of the mother cow at the time of the goring, and therefore you have to pay me. So in that situation, the amale, The owner of the mother cow can now say to the nizak, to the owner of the gored ox, ooh, galis adaitoch, you have revealed to your knowledge, the shutva isli, you clearly went to that partner first, to my partner, the owner of the baby cow. So you clearly understand that the fetus was inside the mother cow at the time, and therefore you have a right to collect from me and from that owner. And therefore, galis adaitoch, the shutva isli, so therefore, I only have to pay chatzi nezek. And the owner of the baby cow has to pay the other chatzi nezek of the chatzi nezek. So I have to pay a quarter, and they have to pay a quarter to make up the total chatzi nezek. And therefore, in that situation, it will be mamon hamutal b'safek, according to the owner of the baby cow. He doesn't believe the nizak, and therefore he'll only have to pay a half of the half of the half. He'll only have to pay an eighth. And the owner of the mother cow will only have to pay a half of the chatzi nezek, will only have to pay a quarter. That's how you have to understand it. Now, Tosis brings down, why would you think that the two, the mother cow and the baby cow, should be equal partners in the shutvis? After all, the mother cow, in the example that Tosis gives, is worth 80 zuz, and the baby is only worth 20 zuz. So that's the example Tosis gives. So in this situation, it's not 50-50. It's going to be a 4-to-1 ratio, an 80-to-20 ratio. And Tosis says, yeah, it means prorated. And he brings down the Gemara that we had previously on Daf Lamed Vav, where we had a similar scenario where we prorated. So it doesn't really mean 50-50. And some of you were thinking, wait a second, why should the mother cow pay 50% and the baby cow pay 50%, because even when the baby cow was inside the mother cow, it never was 50% of the mother cow. So Tosa says, yeah, even if it was 80-20 in terms of the value, so the mother cow is worth 80 and the baby cow is worth 20, so then you'll prorate it. It's not going to be 50-50. It will be a 4-to-1 ratio, and that's how they were divided up. But the bottom line is, if the nizak first went to the owner of the baby cow, so then the owner of the mother cow can say, aha, you agree that I have a shutav, and therefore we'll each pay prorated. That is the first understanding that we have over here. Ika di amre, an alternate way to understand it is no. Afagav de kodim tavi lebal paratchila. Even if the nizak went first to the mother cow, nevertheless, matzvi matchle, the mother cow, the owner of the mother cow, can go and say to him, the armalei, she can tell him, listen, may de yodi anoa, the shutvisli. I know for a fact that I have a shutav. Marshal deletes the word ana. Either way, meida yode de shutva isli. I definitely have a partner. So Hamotz Bechler, all right. You want to prove that I don't have a partner? You prove that the baby cow was born, and only then did the mother cow gore. And then you're right, I don't have a partner. But otherwise, we have the right to say Momen Hamutal B'Safek, and therefore you have to go and collect half from the mother owner of the baby cow and half for me. Again, prorated half, not an actual half. A prorated half, according to Tosos, you can collect from me and from the owner of the baby cow. That's the Ikud the Amri. However, Rava doesn't like this. Omer Rava says, Atu echad me'arboa b'nezek, v'echad mishmona b'nezek tani. This whole explanation that Abaye gave says that when we said a half and a quarter, we really meant a quarter and an eighth. That's not what it says. Chatzin ezek, ravin ezek etani. It didn't say that. It's very nice shtickle tari you said, but that's not what the Mishnah said. And therefore, Rava says, I disagree with you, Abaye. And this is the way you have to understand the Mishnah. El Amar Rava, Rava says, Leolam bepar uvlad dechat. We're dealing here with the cow was owned, the baby and the mother, all owned together by one person. And this is what the Mishnah is telling us. Iso lepara, if the actual mother cow is still here, and you can go collect from the mother cow, so mishtalim chatzin esek mipara, because that's a vadai. The mother cow definitely gored. So you can collect the damages, the chatzin esek that you're entitled to go collect from the mazik, you collect it all from the mother cow. But return to Menzayim and Aleph. If, in fact, the mother cow is no longer around, it ran away, it was shachted, whatever, it's not there. Less a lepara, the mother cow's not there, and all we have left is the baby cow. Now, mishtalim revia nezek mivlad. Here, Sumcha says, this is moment of multiple suffix. We don't know if the baby cow was inside the mother cow at the time that she gored, or she had given birth and only then gored. So therefore, this is matal mumu safik. You can't collect the full chatzi nezek from the baby cow. You can only connect half of the chatzi nezek, so that's a quarter. That's what we said in the Mishnah, a quarter. So it wasn't a combination of adding a half and adding a quarter, which was the problem then we said that it's three quarters. It's no. You collect the chatzi nezek from the mother cow. But if the mother cow's not there, then you have the right to collect half of the chatzi nezek from the baby cow's body. Now, why only half of a half? We don't know over here, was the baby inside the mother at the time she gored, or the baby was born and then the mother gored? But avoli pshita lon the havel of lad b'hador kinacha. But everybody would agree that if we have clear evidence that the mother was pregnant at the time that she gored, so then mishtalim kuli chatzi nezek mi vlad. Then since the vlad was part of the cow, and if the mother cow's not there, then you can collect the full chatzi nezek from the vlad. Why? Rava l'taymei. Rava would say, based upon his reasoning, the Amar Rava elsewhere, parash ezika. If a cow that was pregnant went and did damage as a short time, go ve mi vlada. You're allowed to go and even collect from the vlados of that cow once the cow gives birth. Why? My taima. Because gufa hi. It's all one and the same. We don't say, well, you can only collect from the head because that's where it gored. We say you can collect from the flank. You can collect from the hind legs. It's one cow. So the fetus inside the mother is one cow. So if the mother cow's not there, but the fetuses are there, they're now born baby cows. So that's still part of the mother. And you can collect the full chatzi nezek from the vlados as well. As opposed to, Rava said, Tarnagoles Shizika. If you have a chicken that did damage, and the chicken then laid an egg, so Eino Gova Mi Beitzosa, the egg is not considered part of the mother. Just like we say that Uber Yerech Imahu, the Uber is considered like a limb of the mother. We don't say that about a chicken's egg. Once the egg is mature to a certain point, it's considered a separate entity, and we can't collect from the egg of the chicken. Eino Gova Mi Beitzosa. Why? My timer. Because Pirsha Bi'amahu, the egg is not considered Uber Yerachimo. The egg is considered like a secretion, like waste, like pirish of the mother. And therefore, it is not considered the same entity as the mother. And therefore, in this situation, you can't collect from the egg where you could be able to collect from the vlados. That's Rava L'taymei, and that fits in very well with Rava over here. Furthermore, Rava said, Yama Rava. Rava said another thing. Rava said, Ein shamim lepara bifnei atzma ulivlo bifnei atzmo. Don't go and assess them each separately because you'll be over-assessing it. So a pregnant cow, let's say, is worth $1,000. But once it gives birth, so the pregnant cow is lower in price, it's now $900, but the baby cow that's born is $200. So the sach hakol is $1,100. So that's assessing it more. The pregnant cow is worth $1,000, but when it's given birth, it's worth $900, but the baby is worth $200, so the total is $1,100. So if you go and assess the cow as being two separate entities, you're going to over-evaluate it and you're going to hurt the mazik because now instead of only being able to take the damages from 1,000, you're now taking the damages from 1,100. Ella, therefore, Rava says, Shomin Livlad Al-Gav Para. You evaluate them both together. What is a pregnant cow worth versus what a regular cow is worth? Because if you don't say that, nimso atamachish is a mazik. You're hurting the mazik. In my case, for example, instead of it being worth 1,000, it's worth 1,100. And therefore, he'll have to pay 1,100 potentially from the guf rather than 1,000. So if it did $5,000 worth of damage, so then you pay chatzi nezek, that's 2,500, you pay from the guf. So in one case, you'll be paying 1,100, and in one case, you'll be paying only 1,000. So therefore, you'd be hurting the mazik if you evaluate them as separate entities, therefore you evaluate them both together. Furthermore, Rava says, likewise, if Rahman al-San, somebody cut off the hand of an Eved, so you evaluate what the Eved was worth with two hands and what he's worth only with one hand. And that difference is the damage that was done. Similarly, you do with a person who damaged the field. So let's say, a row of a plantation in that field was damaged. So you view the field, how much it's worth with that row of plantation there and how much the field is worth without that row of plantation. So that's a much less of a damage than if you just take the actual row of plantation. If you sell that in the open market, how much is that worth? So therefore, likewise, if you would go and take the Eved and say, how much would you be willing to pay to cut off his hand? That's a much higher amount. Nobody would be willing to do that. So you'd be paying a much higher amount than the difference between what the Eved is worth with two hands and what the Eved is worth with one hand. What the field is worth with that row and what the field is worth without that row. So this would, again, according to Rava, Lishitaso, in both situations, we would favor the person who was the Mazik rather than the person who was the Nizak. So it says, why? Amalei Ravacha, Brei the Rava L'Ravashi. Ravacha is the son of Rava, says to Ravashi, why is that so? V'dinahu, if the din is that the mazik is supposed to be at a loss, so then the mazik should be at a loss. Why are we favoring the mazik over the nizak? Therefore, lichosh mazik. So, tough luck on the mazik. So Ravashi answers, Bishum da Amalei, because the mazik could go and tell the nizak, Parah me'abrasa aziktoch. And therefore, Parah me'abrasa shaminaloch. Because what happened over here? It was my pregnant cow that damaged you. So therefore, we evaluate what the pregnant cow was worth, not after it gave birth, where it's 1,100. No, you evaluate it as what it was as a pregnant cow when it was 1,000. That's when it did the damage. That's how we evaluate it. That's why we give the benefit, so to say, to the mazik over the nizak, but not because we favor one versus the other, because Rav Ashi says, that's what damaged the animal. The pregnant cow damaged the animal, not the mother and the baby. It was the combined pregnant cow, which is worth 1,000, and not the separate 900 and 200, which is 1,100. Now the Gemara says, and we conclude, we go to the Mishnah already, and the Gemara says, Pshita, it's clear, Paru d'chad uvlad d'chad. If the mother cow and the baby cow are owned by two separate people, and then Nebuch, the cow miscarried because it was gored by the ox, so pitma lebal paru. How do you evaluate this? So you evaluate what the pregnant cow was worth when she was fattened up because of being pregnant. That all goes to the owner of the mother cow, because that's truly the mother cow. The fact that she's fattened up, as Rashi says, Masha Shomino saw Shahai saw Yofa b'nei Shumna, because she's now a fatter cow. So heavy the balpara, that all belongs to the balpara, because the whole vlad mechamase lo osi shumna, because it's not the fat of the baby that makes the mother fattened up solely. So the pitma goes to the balpara, as opposed to the nifcha. That is, Rashi says, Mashai so yofa b'nei nafcha. The fact that the cow looks fuller because she's pregnant, so all the tissue that's gained by the mother, separate from the fetus, because she's pregnant, so in that situation, that clearly belongs to the mother, the owner of the mother cow. But the nifcha, that the cow is looking swelled up, so to say, it looks fuller, it looks pregnant, how much is that worth to the mother and to the owner of the fetus? So we have a machlokas. Rapop, amar, lebal par. All of that extra appearances, that goes all to the mother, because she's the one that looks better. And Rav Acha, Breda, Ravika, Amar, no, that we're not sure, chokin. They have to split that additional value, and the halach is v'hilchos chokin. And we posit like this latter opinion of Rav Acha, Breda, Ravika, that additional appearance, the sake of nifcha, of being blown up, it looking good, so that is split between the owner of the mother cow and the owner of the to-be-born baby cow, the fetus inside the mother. And with this, we conclude today's shiur.